Hi, this is Joe Patty. Thanks for listening to WRTI Online. This service is made possible through the support of WRTI's members. You can become a member, too. Since you're already online, just visit www.wrti.org and click the Become a Member link. You can also join us by phone at 1-866-809-9784. Your membership will help keep WRTI's broadcast and online services strong. And again, thank you. Now, on with the show.
Maja LaRue is our guest today. The music was inspired by Serbian folklore, which is her heritage. She is a guitarist and composer, an artist who believes in the magic of melody and its ability to transcend all barriers, both emotionally and analytically. She has a new album out. It's called Maja LaRue, Symphonic and Guitar. And she demonstrates this in her compositions for film, theater, and classical performance. We caught up with her at home in Geneva, Switzerland. Welcome to Crossover, Maja LaRue Obradovic. Is that the way I pronounce it correctly?
It's exact. Obradovic is not very Swiss. I'm born in Belgrade in ex-Yugoslavia. And I arrived in Geneva with my parents when I was 5 years old. So I spent basically my life in Geneva.
I see. And I must say that when I got your album, I just put it on and I said, she must write film music. Because I had that feeling. I didn't read any of the literature about you. I just listened, which is what I do very often, just to get my first impression of the music. And it so much sounded like film music. And of course, then as I found out about you, you've done quite a lot for movies. Isn't that right?
It's exact. I love to work for images. I love to work on the text, on emotion. I think that it gives more freedom. For example, if the story happens to be in China, I'm allowed to give just little music that is sort of imaginary.
Okay.
That I can write for music that be on stage, that is not a very serious and deep knowledge about the subject. So it gives just a sensation and imagination that goes through the music.
Well, now you are also a guitarist, isn't that right?
Exactly. I'm a classical guitar player, and that's really my instrument.
Yes. And
like a lot of musicians, I play the piano more for harmony and studying the music, but really my concert instrument is the classical guitar.
And where did you study?
I studied, of course, in Geneva. And then I went to Paris in École Normale de Musique. And I was with Alberto Pons, who was the assistant of André Segovia. So it was just joining the Spanish traditional school through Alberto Pons.
I see. So then you wanted to be a classical guitarist, or did you always want to compose?
I think that I wanted to be in the music. I mean, it's just, I remember my first very deep emotion with music was when I was 9 years old in Venice, in La Fenice. I heard Nabucco and all the audience standing up, lighting the lights, and singing the famous chorus.
The chorus of the Hebrew slaves.
Exactly,
yes.
Was sort of the national anthem.
Yes, yes.
And from this moment on, I just said I would like to do anything just to be a little bit part of this world. But I studied really classical guitar, and I entered composition more through improvisation than through composition lessons. I mean, I studied harmony and contrapunt.
Of course.
But not composition, because I was more attracted by music or jazz or movies or more music that was not contemporary enough to join lessons of classical composition, at least in Europe.
I see. So, but I get the sense that you really involve yourself in the ambiance of what you're talking about. I mean, that's what your music does. It creates the mood, the feeling of the story, whatever is going on, and your subject matter has been very, very diverse.
Exactly. I think that for me, the first thing that I want to enter is the ambiance and the sensation that that is inside, and where I, for example, composed the music for the movie that happened to be in Antarctic. I will always remember the first images that were so pure, this beauty of these eyes, so huge, this light so pure. And for me, it was the sensation was sort of heaven, just voices, women voices,
yes,
and the harp and perfection and no harmonies that are changing that you can, but just music, not floating one on the top of the other. And it was so funny. I composed the music. I sent it to the movie director. And he called me back. It's magnificent, but it's not that. I said, what do you mean it's not that?
That's interesting.
And I said, I mean, you have to explain to me. It's your movie, but how can I? He said, not that, because, you know, when we are arriving, we are scared. It's frightening.
Yes.
So everything is also in orchestration. For me, it was not frightening. I was in my nice sofa watching beautiful images.
Right.
But for the guys, so adding tremolos on the strings, or adding this. So it was very interesting about emotion is the orchestration that we can add, especially in the movies, in any music.
Now, did you study orchestration because you have written for symphonic ensemble here and for most of us?
I didn't really study composition, but I was very, very lucky to work quite a lot with a conductor that is on my CD that you have called Alexander Vujic. And he's teaching orchestration in Belgrade Conservatory.
Mm-hmm.
And since my first concerto, I sat next to him, and he said, you know, here it's maybe better to double just the octave, or maybe it would be nice this and that. And thanks to him, I just learned so much. And he gave me as a gift the orchestration treaty of Rimsky-Korsakov. It's so complete.
well, he was the great orchestrator, you know.
Rimsky-Korsakov. He was the god of orchestration.
Brilliant, yes. But I certainly feel the sense of classical music in your scores. They really are scores. I also you have hit me on a very sensitive spot, because I adore the music of Astor Piazzolla, and your Concerto Latino is just amazing. You certainly get the...
You got it, because I love so much the music of Piazzolla.
Yes, yes.
And it was a big frustration not having a concerto for guitar and orchestra.
Right. This is wonderful.
So I can play it,
This is wonderful. It sounds like his, you know, you've used every style that he uses. I mean, the things that define his music that you can always recognize.
Exactly, because he's very diversified.
Yes.
And he wrote for so many instruments. He wrote also for the guitar, but no concertos.
No.
And I just had a dream to have one really tango concerto for guitar. So,
well, you know, you don't have to say it's your music, because when you hear it, it sounds just like Piazzolla. It really, really does. It's marvelous. And again, beautifully played. So most of this entire album that you have now, it's called Symphonic and Guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And this includes, now the other one that is quite moving is the little suite for the Le Petit Prince of, yes, that's the Little Prince. I must tell you this, I have the book at home in French and in English, and I started to read it listening to your music a little bit.
Yes.
And it's quite delicate and appropriate, you know?
It's a text that I love so much. I mean, it's not very original, because it's one of the most famous and the most translated text that it is.
Yes.
But I really deeply can find, every time I read this text, something else and something human and poetic and
very,
so fantastic.
Very profound. It is very profound. I mean, I must say. And then, is this a production that you have written the music for? Is it going to be on stage?
So I was asked by a very nice actress from Norway to compose music for the Petit Prince, hein, in order to make a tour in Norway. Just a production with her on stage and music for guitar, because she's working a lot with musicians, and thinking that this text especially is appropriate for a guitar composition.
So solo guitar?
With solo guitar.
And she would be speaking when...
Speaking, exactly.
So
for the moment, I composed the music. She did the redaction of the text. It's quite complicated to work because it's going to be in Norwegian, so just to follow and to catch up on the places. But it's going to be for 2010. I'm waiting to have the exact issues for this this tour. And of course, I will change places. Some places I will be playing with the text and the music beside, or to adapt it. And this version is now, I would say, a concert version that I played this spring, and finding very happily that the audience loved it, even without the text, just as a concert piece.
Yes, it's lovely. Well, it's lovely, but it's amazing what it does when you hear the text with it. It fleshes it out, as we say. Now, you've released this album on a label. It's available, though, for purchase here in the States, isn't it?
It is. It is, absolutely. Be absolutely ordered, and now it's distributed through CD Baby on Internet.
Okay, CD Baby.
So CD Baby, they delivering in States the physical CD, or you can charge the music, or very efficient, and
yes.
Now it's much easier with that kind of distribution. Yeah.
Wonderful, Maya. Well, this is wonderful. Do you sing?
No, I don't sing, and I love voice. I was never gifted in singing. But I love writing music for singers, for choirs, and it's certainly the instrument that touches me the more, I would say.
Well, this ghostly eyes that opens the album is so interesting. But it was written, you said, for a comedy, a musical comedy?
It was written basically for the musical comedy. And of 12 years ago, even more now, I composed a musical comedy, and my husband, who is a writer, made the lyrics and the story. And it was it was such a good surprise, because this music for this song, for this orphan singing and trying to imagine who her father could be in the story, happened to arrive just like when you're writing a story. Just in one piece, I put this this music. And much later on, when I was very lucky to have a huge recording of my musical comedy in Belgrade, it was with 110 musicians with the radio.
My
production,
goodness! Oh Lord!
So it was just a very big production. The radio production loved this song so much, and asked me if they can make a recording with one of the great opera singer in Belgrade. So of course, I'm honored that
it's very beautiful.
Be performed,
yes, yes, yes.
And I love this operatic version is just this. It is my music, but with another interpretation, gives also as much sense as the musical comedy.
But again, when you hear it, you don't think of a musical comedy, other than it's more dramatic. That's what
exactly.
I mean.
It is just. I think this imagination of a woman who feels that the father is, on a sense, so close to her in her mind, but no one wants to say anything to her about who he was, and so everything is in the imagination of her.
I see. And ghostly eyes, that's the name of it, right?
Ghostly eyes.
Well, I hope, Maya, that you can work something out so we can see you in a live performance here in the United States.
I would love so much. I would do my best to come in your wonderful country.
Wonderful. And your music is just beautiful. And hopefully you will be releasing another album soon.
I hope so.
Thank you once again, Maya, for giving us your time, and good luck. Beautiful, beautiful music.
Jill, thank you very much. I hope to meet you.
Thank you. I hope so, too. Bye.
Thank you. Goodbye.